Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's head out now on the WadeFord.com hotline. He writes for Rivals and Yahoo. Does a great job. You can follow him on Twitter at Kelly_Quinlan. Kelly Quinlan joining us to talk about it from the Georgia Tech angle. Kelly, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. I want to start with this, and I have not seen any clarification, and this is not meant to take a shot at Georgia Tech in any way. I don't want you to think that. If they lose, they will finish 5-6. Will they get the bowl waiver to get into a bowl game if that scenario plays out?
So it all depends on how many bowl teams are out there right now. I think the number's 70 as of today. There's 78 spots, so it's kind of tough because there's a whole bunch of teams on sort of the bubble. And so if there's a bunch of six win, you know, like South Alabama's or whatever, they kind of get the nod first. And then interestingly, there's nothing in the literature of the bowl thing to help a team that's lost a game for due to Mother Nature or whatever. So actually, like Minnesota or Duke, who's 5-7, would be ahead of Georgia Tech just because their APR is slightly better. So Georgia Tech's like the third team in the pecking order for APR. It's the five win teams.
Yeah, last week, the Yellow Jackets got up to a nice lead up there in Duke last year, a game that they should have easily won, but they gave up over 300 yards rushing. Has that been the problem this year? Because it seems like they play up to the Virginia Techs or the Miamis. When you get a team like Duke, it seems like they were playing to the competition level.
Yeah, it's been a weird season, and pretty sure they're still scoring a touchdown on Ted Roof's defense right now up in Durham. I mean, yeah, they scored, I think, 13 of the last 15 possessions against Georgia Tech over the last 2 years. But, I don't know what that was about. It was the second worst game I've covered in the 10 years I've been covering Georgia Tech. The other one that comes to mind is they went to Kansas in 2010 and really not a good Kansas team and came out and thought they were supposed to win. And I think what happened, to be perfectly honest, from talking to people, is Georgia Tech thought they were going to roll their helmets out, win the game, and Duke had a good game plan. And they couldn't stop them on defense for some reason, and the offense couldn't keep up in the second half, and that's what did them in. And the offense is not as good. It's not one of Paul Johnson's best offenses. The defense has played okay at times and has been kind of garbagey at other times. I think they've given up a touchdown at the end of the half in almost every game this season. So, it was just an ugly game. You wonder what the mood's going to be like. The team's been kind of weird this week, very quiet down at Georgia Tech. Last week they were very boisterous, kind of excited. So I have no idea what's going to happen on Saturday now.
Kelly, it's interesting you say that this hasn't been one of Paul Johnson's better offers. Because I thought at times this year, Taquan and Kervonte Benson and Ricky June and those guys, I thought it was one of his really fun offenses. Why do you say it's not one of the better ones he's had?
Well, I think it's been fun to watch. The passing element's not. Taquan's really struggled with that. He's had probably one of the worst seasons I've seen. He's made some really nice big plays, but has struggled at times to complete pretty kind of rudimentary passes. I mean, they've been kind of boom or bust. It's not been very consistent. That was what was kind of encouraging in the Duke game. They come out the first drive of the game and have a methodical drive down the field to score a touchdown, but then last year they were just so efficient offensively, and in 2014, very efficient. 2015 was a weird season because of the injuries, but even going back further, they've always kind of been able to be counted on to go punch for punch with the team, and they got in that situation against Duke, and they just couldn't hang in there. And so I'm not sure. It's been kind of hot or cold. When they're on, they play really well, and they are fun to watch, like you said, and they've had a lot of huge touchdown plays, but then at times they can't seem to bang out the 18, 15, 12 play drives that they kind of need, especially with the way the defense has played at times.
Kelly, I'm with you. I always say this about Paul Johnson's offense. When it's rolling, it is fun to watch. But when it's not, and you have a quarterback, I mean, one game he was 6 for 22 in the game. But I'm going to go back to the beginning of the season. With the loss of Dedrick Mills, do you think the offense would be a lot more efficient if he was on the team?
I think they would have beaten Miami and probably won one other game. What happened in the Miami game down in Miami is Kervante Benson got hurt in the first half, and the whole offense kind of went sideways. The one thing about Mills is he was very good at tough yards. Kervante seems to get a little more worn down on the longer drives, and I think Dedrick did a better job of kind of handling those 20 carries, 25 carries. Like, he was a little bit better at that than Kervante. He was much better at holding on to the football. Kervante's had some really bad fumbles. You think about the Clemson game. They're trying to match scores with Clemson. They're going down the field, and he fumbles the football. You know, that's kind of been sort of the MO here for the offense. They've made kind of a mistake at a key opportunity. I mean, if you go all the way back to the Tennessee game, you think about J.J. Green getting stripped. You know, as Georgia Tech, basically all he has to do is fall down and they win the game. He tries to stretch it out to score and gets stripped by a Tennessee player and gives them the ball back. So it's been, as Paul Johnson said this week, a screwy season. I've never kind of seen anything like this. They've just found ways to lose games in bizarre ways this season.
We've got Kelly Quinlan with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking Georgia and Georgia Tech. One thing I've seen, Kelly, and I know it's not always with Paul's offense, but two of the best defensive lines he played, you mentioned the Miami game, obviously Clemson, teams that were able to penetrate, were able to slow down the offense. Georgia can do a lot of the same things. How do they counter that this week to be able to run the football effectively against the Dogs?
I think the big thing is you have to be able to hit a couple passes and loosen things up. If I'm Kirby Smart, and kind of my indication from talking to people around Georgia is he's going to just load it up and dare them to throw the football, which is what kind of Miami and Virginia Tech and Clemson did. And you have to be able to hit on some pass plays to loosen things up. And Paul will have some counter plays. They had a really nice one with they ran sort of what's a – sort of like a jet sweep for them with the A-back, and they got a huge play in their game against Virginia Tech off that to just get some momentum and loosen things up. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of counter move. You know, as I look at this game, to me, one of two things is going to happen on Saturday. Either it's going to be a close game like the last few games between these teams. Most of the time since Paul Johnson's been there, they've been close. Or Georgia's just going to boat race them, and I don't know which one's going to happen, and that's kind of the interesting thing about a rivalry game. Georgia Tech's been a totally different team at home, so you just wonder what's going to happen here, because Georgia Tech has a lot to play for, and Georgia has a hell of a lot more to play for. So kind of where is that going to go? Where's the pressure going to go? And that's what makes this really interesting. It's a rivalry game, and both teams can kind of screw each other if they win the game.
Kelly, you were talking earlier about the different mindsets of both last week's Georgia Tech team to this week's Georgia Tech team. You were saying last week they pretty much thought that, hey, we're just going to go up here and, to use your term, boat race Duke. But now it's more or less, I think it's Paul Johnson has it more of as a business atmosphere. Do you think that he was like, okay, you see what happens to you last week in Duke, now we got to get ready this week?
Yeah, I think that's been kind of his message as a team. I mean, they backed themselves into a corner. They lost a game they should have won, and now they got to win this game to extend their season, and it's senior day, and you have a bunch of guys that are really well respected on the team and that are seniors. They're going to be out there with their families before the game, and the emotions are going to be high, and you're catching a Georgia team who you beat 2 of 3 years, and you haven't won in Atlanta since, what, 99? So, I mean, there's a lot on the line, and I think his point to them is you can't take this at all lately, and you're going to have to play a perfect game to beat this Georgia team this week. And I think that's going to be an interesting sort of way to watch how the team handles that, because they've been to me, a top 25 team at home, and they've been a terrible team on the road. So you wonder if they can muster that up again this week against Georgia.
We've got Kelly Quinlan with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kelly, we had you on preseason, and you had the natives fired up. Georgia Tech's going to do this. They're going to do that. And now I'm hearing you, and you're just kind of, well, you know, it's going to take a perfect game. What's going on? Come on, man. I need that Georgia Tech bravado that you had back in August.
Well, to me, I mean, I mean, it's pretty amazing to me. Other than Clemson and the Duke game, Georgia Tech should have won every other game this season. And really, they should beat Duke. So it's weird to me because this team could easily be sitting at one loss. Clemson's the only team where you looked at the game and, yeah, they beat them. And so it's weird to me. And at the end of the day, you have a guy coaching with lesser talent and he's doing a lot more with it. And, you know, with Kirby Smart, I'm still kind of curious what happens here. And, you know, they could go into a tailspin and end up in a Peach Bowl if they lose the next two games. I think what I've seen from Kirby Smart this year in terms of recruiting and coaching and how he's adapted from year to year has impressed me. But with what I had seen last year, I was pretty confident about Paul Johnson. I think that going into year two, Kirby's grown a lot as a coach, and I've been impressed kind of watching from afar what he's done and how he's adapted and what he's forced his coordinators to do to keep them in games, like making Jim Chaney stop throwing the football in stupid situations. It's fascinating to me. And one of the funniest parts of this game this weekend, by the way, is you have two teams that run like 75% of the time. So you could see a game on Saturday where there's like 12 total possessions. So it's pretty funny because they almost kind of mirror Georgia Tech. They just do it in a different way in terms of the way they run the football now.
Well, Kelly, should be a lot of fun this weekend. We appreciate you coming on here. Anytime, we'll catch up with you afterwards and see how the reaction is.
Because it's going to be a beatdown. Thanks, Kel.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.